podcast in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One. It's 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello, everyone. A very warm welcome along to the latest edition of the Punt Podcast. Good to have your company. The Premier League is back, which is very good news indeed. We'll be previewing the five televised games in the company of Alex Dunn and Derek McGovern very, very shortly. And we've also got our FWA guest this week, who is Darren Lewis, the Daily Mirror's football writer. We're going to talk about Roy Keane and his... clashes with Harry Arter and John Walters throughout the course of the week, and we'll speak about the new European competition, which is scheduled to come into play in 2021, which might be Derek's next nap winner. That's all to come. We've also got Alex Dunn, who's going to preview a European match as well as looking at the Premier League, and the usual three-headed monster of Pete Farris, Alistair Ross and Gav Poshlowski are going to give their tips on the Football League. My name is Dave Kellner. I'll talk you through the betting as this podcast wears on. First of all, it's a warm welcome. Good morning to Derek McGovern. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How quickly you forget. Nap after nap was winning. I have one loser in the international break and the flak flies again. I'm not having it.
Speaking of losers, which nap did you put in for me, Alex Dunn, last week?
Oh, I don't know. I don't care. where were you last week? We were discussing. Are you retired from international football? Is that it?
That's it, yeah. And Andy Excel's had an injury setback as well, so he's not with us on the podcast. He has kindly emailed in his selections through, which I will read out sporadically on this particular podcast.
Lovely. But yeah, I can't remember. Oh, no, I do remember what I put up for you. Yeah, it lost.
Oh, did it?
Yeah,
thank you. Thank you.
I'd put Belarus to not go crazy against San Marino and they won 5-0.
Right. Okay. Never mind.
Hey, we've got proper football back, though.
Absolutely. Absence makes the heart grow fonder, and the Premier League is back this week. And we start off with a very intriguing fixture. Tottenham versus Liverpool is first up on Saturday, 12:30 kickoff. Spurs are 9-5 to win this game. The draw 12-5. Liverpool in the betting at 7-5. As you can imagine, a whole host of markets on the William Hill website. A couple that you might be interested in from an enhanced odds point of view. Mohamed Salah to score and Liverpool to win was 23-10. That's been boosted to 5-2. And if you fancy Harry Kane to score in a Spurs win, that was 11-4. That's been boosted to 3-1. Derek, you spoke about Spurs on the podcast last weekend and their lack of squad strength and depth, and the fact that Harry Kane's not had much rest and they've got a small squad, and Harry Kane's fitness was called into question again midweek. Gary Neville went into ranted about this subject, Derek, and said that he shouldn't have been with the international team in this particular break. I'm concerned for Spurs in this matchup.
Well, yeah, but I still don't think it merits Liverpool being favourites. I'm surprised at those odds. 9-5 Spurs, 7-5 Liverpool. Liverpool have lost only one of their last 11 league meetings with Tottenham. But remember a year ago what happened? Spurs did the number on them at Wembley, that number being 4. It was the most stomach-churning Wembley experience for Liverpool fans since we saw those white suits. We still witnessed something white, if you remember. The flag Liverpool raised when they were 2-0 down. It was the worst performance of the season for Liverpool, 4-1 defeat. They righted it a little at Anfield in a 2-2 draw, a memorable match. But I don't think they deserve to be favoured, certainly not on what they've shown this season. Yeah, I know they won 4 out of 4. But any Liverpool fan who've watched those games would tell you they haven't been convincing. The managers as well, I mean, the two most highly rated managers in the business, apart from Pep Guardiola, you'd say. And yeah, they've gone years without winning the thing. Pochettino, if he was any other manager, he'd be out of a job. He hasn't won anything. If he were a punter, he'd be me. He gets so much praise, and yet he's in charge of a Spurs side now after 4 years, and there's all kinds of questions being asked about them. I find this match troubling because instinctively I looked at it and I thought, Spurs are in trouble here. It was a shocking performance against Watford last time. I'll have a dabble at Liverpool. But Liverpool at these prices makes no appeal whatsoever. One thing I will say, Dave, sorry to ramble on about this, but it shows how far Liverpool have come. Spurs v Liverpool was Jurgen Klopp's first match. I think it was about three seasons ago, 2015. I think it was a 0-0 draw. Listen to Liverpool subs that day. Bogdan, Toure, Randall, Allen, Ibe, Teixeira, Sinclair. They were the subs. In the first 11 were Skrtel, Sacco, Marino, Lucas and Origi. They all started. I mean, that's I'm surprised Liverpool got a draw that day. It shows you that Jurgen Klopp is making huge steps in the right direction. You wonder whether Spurs have come something to a full stop. I'm all in all, though, I have to go for the draw because now the manager wins anything anyway.
Andy Excel fancied the draw, by the way, at 12-5 in this game. I marked it down as 5 minutes for Derek's first step into a nonsensical view there with Maurizio Pochettino saying that he'd be out of a job. Mr. Dunn, he's working with his hands tied behind his back, isn't he? I mean, no transfer money in the summer window. What's the man meant to do?
Yeah, true. He's sort of doing what he can with what he's got. I just don't think that Spurs have it in them to mount any kind of challenge this season, given how small their squad is and how lacking quality / depth it is. So I think they're really going to struggle to compete on many fronts. They're going to have to target one competition. That would normally be the Premier League. They won't win the Premier League because Man City and Liverpool are better than them. I'm with Derek, though. I wasn't convinced that Liverpool should really be favourites for this, even though I could see them winning. So I'm going to leave the outright result out of it because I've sort of gone around in circles with it.
Yep.
I think this will be low scoring. And they're two sides who, when they go forward, they can be pretty devastating. But we saw Mo Salah against Leicester look pretty tired. We've seen Harry Kane look pretty tired. Dele Alli withdrew from international duty with an injury. Whether he's available or not remains to be seen. You could have a sort of after the Lord Mayor show here where everyone's really excited for the Premier League to be back. And on paper, this looks a great game. I think it could be low scoring. I'd go under 2.5 goals. It's 6-5. I'm surprised it's priced up like that. Liverpool, we've seen defensively with Van Dijk at the heart of it, are much better. Spurs are very solid anyway. I think, do you know what? I think it could be 0-0. It could be. But I'm playing it safe. Under 2.5 is the way to go as far as I'm concerned. That's, I'd make that one of the better bets of the weekend, to be honest, at that price.
12-1, by the way, if you fancy the 0-0 draw in that particular fixture on Saturday afternoon. Let's move on. We've got Watford versus Manchester United at Vicarage Road on Saturday at 5:30. Watford 3-1 to win this game. The draw 12-5, Manchester United in the betting at 10-11. If you fancy United to win both halves in this fixture, it was 9-2. It's been enhanced to 11-2. And if you're with Watford, Troy Deeney to score, the timeless Troy Deeney, for him to score in a Watford win was 6-1. That's been enhanced to a 7-1. I think it's a strange situation at Manchester United at the moment because after the loss against Spurs, a humiliating defeat against Spurs, people were calling for Jose Mourinho's head. But one victory against Burnley seems to have kind of quelled the tide. And the feeling is that this is maybe an everything-to-lose match for Manchester United and an everything-to-gain one for Watford because they've started the season sensationally well. They've won all four games. And since Javi Gracia, he got the job, his first home game in charge back in February, Watford have won more Premier League points in home fixtures than any other team, which is simply sensational. But I think the bookies have cottoned on to that to a certain extent as well. This is a fixture where traditionally, Alex, you'd expect Manchester United to be around about 1-2 to win it, and they're bordering on even money here.
Yeah, and they still make no appeal, do they, really? I'm sick of Man U. As a relative neutral, I'm sick of everyone talking about them because they're not that good anymore. I can put up with talking about Man City and Liverpool at the minute because they play great football and they're entertaining to watch. And Man U just aren't. It's like a soap opera where you already know what's going to happen at the end, which is Jose will go. That's the end game. It's pretty uninspiring stuff. And, of course, Marcus Rashford, who scored in midweek, can't play here because he headbutted Phil Bardsley,
yep.
Which we'd all like to do. I think unders is a possible play again here, to be honest.
I can't wait for this Premier League weekend with you.
I think it will be fairly trappy, though, to be honest. Are Watford a flash in the pan? Undoubtedly, yes. I heard someone talking about them the other day as, oh, you know, remember Leicester? Yes, I do. Watford aren't going to do that. I'd be amazed. There's no market on the William Hill website, but I'd be amazed if Javi Gracia lasts the season.
Really?
It doesn't happen, does it?
Yeah.
Have you seen Watford?
They've got an unbelievably high turnover of managers, haven't they?
They have an unbelievably poor record from November onwards. They have the earliest summer holiday of every team. Because it's snowing when they stop. No, I can't have Watford. I'm not crazy about Man U. I'm going under 2.5 goals, 8 to 11. I'm going to sit in my misery hole all weekend and watch goalless draws. No, I think this one, under 2.5, 8 to 11, it is what it is. I don't think Man U will go there and be adventurous. I think Watford will take a draw. Draw's probably the most likely outcome, to be honest. Mm.
Okay, draw in the game, Watford versus Manchester United, under 2.5 a play as well, 12-5 for the draw in the match. Jose Holobasa started the season well. He's been directly involved, if you will, in more Premier League goals than any other player, with one goal, four assists. So if you're a fantasy football player, he could be one to look at for the defensive lineup this weekend.
Until November.
Until November.
Yeah.
Derek, how do you view this?
Well, I agree with Alex about United. They're a joke. I know I've said that every season, but this season it's true. Every player in a United shirt this term has been useless. Such has been Alexis Sanchez's contribution. The United have actually thought of retiring the number 7 shirt with him still in it. I mean, they're absolutely diabolical. What can you say about Watford's start of the season that hasn't already been overhyped? Even Elton John said he can't remember a better start in all his years. I'm not sure how old Elton is, but he remembers when Rock was young, so there's a bit of a clue. They've absolutely unbelievable start, 4 wins from 4. And we said last week, I think it was there, well, you were, must have been the week before, this manager, I disagree, I think he will be there at the end of the season because he's got something, this manager. He's got something. If he's got Troy Deeney playing like a Premier League footballer, in my eyes, he's not a Premier League footballer. He's got every player overperforming. And I think Watford are 3-1 to beat United is what values seekers are describing as value sought. I think 3-1 is a big price for a team that's won 4 games out of 4, for a team that's got a fantastic home record, as you outlined earlier on, playing against a team that looked there for the taking and a team that aren't playing for the manager. I think 3-1 is a massive price.
As if you haven't heard enough from Alex Dunn already, here he is with his European tip. Hopefully it's not under 2.5 goals in a random European game. So Alex Dunn with his European tip next.
Well, if you're going to have that attitude, Dave, then I may as well not bother. And people who've been following the European nap scene in recent weeks would argue that not bothering is probably the way to go. But I do have, hopefully, a winning selection for you, and it is not going to be a boring one either. Bayern Munich take on Bayer Leverkusen in the standout game in the Bundesliga this weekend, and Bayern ludicrously short, as ever, around about fives on. But you can get a bit more value by taking Bayern to win and both teams to score. It's around about 13-10. Leverkusen have got a fair scoring record against Bayern in recent years. I think there could be plenty of goals. I can see this finishing 2-3, maybe even 4-1. But I'm hopeful that Leverkusen can score. Don't think they'll win, though. But 13-10 on Bayern to win and both teams to score. That's the Euro nap. Back to you, Dave, my sweet.
Now let's move on to Sunday's fixtures. 1:30 kick-off on Sunday. Wolves versus Burnley. Wolves are 3-4 to win the game. The draw 5-2 with Burnley in the betting at 19-5. And Hans Stords, Raul Jimenez to score and Wolves to win was 2-1. That's been enhanced to 5-2. He started the season particularly well. And Chris Wood to score in a Burnley win was 13-2. That's been enhanced to 7-1. These prices seem strange to me, Derek, because it's a rarity you see odds on about a newly promoted team against an established Premier League side, but that's what we've got here. And on form we've seen so far this season, it's probably justified as well.
You're right, it is. The 3-4 you mentioned for Wolves to beat Burnley comes under the heading, yes, I'll have some of that. 6-4 for Wolves to win 2-0 comes under the heading, yes, I'll have all of it. Because Burnley won't score. They've already played 87 matches in the Europa League this season. And look absolutely knackered. They even let Man United beat them last time out. That's how bad they're playing. They've actually played 10 matches already. We're only just into September. They've won only 2 of them, Burnley. And one of those doesn't count because it was against Aberdeen. They're going down. This is a team going down, which is why I was making a big thing about Sean Dyche being the next manager to go 2 or 3 weeks ago. Wolves were absolutely fantastic against Man City a few weeks ago. They didn't get the credit they deserved for that performance. It was sensational. Since then, they've won their last 2 games, even though they were carrying my money on both occasions. They'll be carrying it, what got left of it, this week. I think they're absolute certainties to beat Burnley.
OK, strong selection for Mr. McGovern. By the way, it is 20-1 for Sean Dyche to be the next or the first Premier League manager to leave his position. Wolves have only lost 2 of their last 28 home games in all competitions under Nuno Santo. Admittedly, the majority of those have, of course, been in the Championship. Is it just the fixture backlog that's affecting Burnley this season, Alex?
To a point, but also they're just not great, are they? They're sort of a really effective Championship side.
But they've never been not great. They've always been not great, and they've managed to work their way into safety in the Premier League.
Yeah, but generally their away form has been shocking. Yet last year was an exception to that rule. I must admit, I looked at it and immediately my first thought was, oh, our Wolves are short.
Yeah, that was my instinct.
But I can't not side with them, to be honest. So I'm going to try and eke out a little bit more value. I'm going to go Wolves and both teams to score 16-5. Burnley do have a habit of just picking up the odd goal here and there. And Wolves defensively have been a little suspect so far. I love watching them go forwards. I was dead against them at the start of the season. I thought they were consistently too short. I still think they're too short here, but I've kind of been swayed around by the way that they play. I like watching them. I won't be surprised if Burnley do score. I think it's a little bit of value. So Wolves on both teams to score 16-5. But yeah, I tried and tried to go against Wolves at that price, but eventually I just can't. I cannot see Wolves not winning. I'm the same as Derek.
By the way, Andy Excel's bet in that match, he fancies the draw at 5-2. Low scoring draw as well, 0-0 or 1-1 in the game. Let's move on to Everton versus West Ham, which is Sunday 4 p.m. Everton 21-20 to win the match. The draw 13-5 with West Ham in the betting at 12-5. Cenk Tosun to score and Everton to win was 21-10. That's been enhanced to 5-2. And if you fancy Marko Arnautovic to score and West Ham to win, that was 9-2. That's been enhanced to 5-1. It's been an appalling start to the season for the Hammers. Alex, there was lots of optimism coming into the campaign with Manuel Pellegrini taking the reins and what was seemingly at the time a pretty strong transfer window, but they've only scored twice. They're rock bottom of the Premier League and it seems pretty obvious to me where the deficiencies are. The game is passing Jack Wilshere by each and every week and their new signings haven't bedded in yet. I think Felipe Anderson and Andre Yarmolenko will be good in the long run. They'll be big game players for West Ham, but it's taking time and too much time.
Yeah, I actually don't mind West Ham away from home. I think at home they are always worth taking on because it's not a fortress at all. But away from home, that they've got maybe a little bit more about them. They can counter-attack a bit more. But yeah, well, you mentioned where it's going wrong. The pitch is pretty much where it's gone wrong for them so far. It's interesting. Pellegrini likes to play quite attacking football with his centre midfielders sort of the driving force of that. And you think in the past at Man City, he's had Yaya Toure to do that for him. And now he's got Wilshere and Noble, effectively just diddy men, just sort of doing what they can, getting a bit angry every now and again. But ultimately, they don't have the legs to play that kind of game. They've had some hard games so far this season, West Ham. I do think their new signings will come into it. I can see them scoring here, but I quite like Everton. I think Everton will win this. Cenk Tosun's got one hell of a job, hasn't he? Because he can be as bad as he wants and there's no one there to replace him. A little bit like you, Dave. But he's basically just got a free pass, hasn't he? To do it. He's not scored yet this season. He is in my fantasy team, for the record, but that's because he won't get dropped and he will score every now and again. I'm not necessarily putting him up as a bet this week, but my best bet on this would be Everton and over 2.5 goals. I think it'll be fairly open. I can see it being 2-1, 3-1. That's 21-10 for Everton and over 2.5.
Yeah, Andy XL fancies over 3.5 goals in the game at 2-1, so a similar theme for this match at Goodison. Derek, Everton versus West Ham, what are those blue noses saying to you in the pub?
I avoid them now. I don't speak down to them anymore. Everton have got a bit of an injury crisis. About 10 first-teamers could be out and Cenk Tosun could be in. So they're in real difficulties. You can pick holes in both sides, obviously. West Ham, obvious, because they've lost all four. Everton, because as crap as they've been for many, many years. You mentioned Jack Wilshere. He's stealing a living at the moment, Jack Wilshere, isn't he? He really is. I hesitate to say that because, you know, if I was a footballer listening to that about me, I'd get a hot under the collar. But he got him on a free, but I still say they were robbed. Arsenal told him he no longer fitted into their plans. He now looks as though he doesn't fit into his pants. Have you seen the size of him? He's got a gut-out clause in his contract, Jack Wilshere. I do not see him being a fixture in Premier League football for much longer because everything's going wrong for him. Pellegrini came in, made his new signings, £40 million on Felipe Anderson after his medical. I think it should have been Pellegrini having the medical. The only Anderson you should pay £40 million for is Pamela. Pellegrini's considering it. I just can't have them. I can't have West Ham. I can't have Everton. I can't have the draw. I've got no idea about this game.
Maybe they should just call it off, Derek.
Yeah, lack of interest you might do. No, I think Everton won't win. Everton will not win this game. West Ham will come good eventually. It could be this weekend, but on the evidence so far, you have to say no, these new players need a bit more bedding down before you'd be packing them away from home. But I can't have Everton at these prices. Just over even money? No. I've got to go for the draw.
Okay, draw in the match. Available at 13-5. Final fixture this weekend is Southampton versus Brighton, Monday 8 p.m. Even money, Southampton to win this game. The draw 9-4, Brighton 29-10. Enhanced odds, Danny Ings to score and Southampton to win was 23-10. That's been enhanced to 11-4. Glenn Murray, who's in fine fettle at the moment, for him to score and Brighton to win, that was 5-1. That's been enhanced to 6-1. Any talk about this being a rivalry or a derby is absolute nonsense. Clubs are miles apart. There isn't any animosity between them. And I think looking at these prices, Derek, you need to be in a straitjacket to back Southampton at even money.
Exactly. They beat Brighton in the League Cup a week or so ago. A fortnight or so ago. But there were two weak teams playing that night, Southampton and Brighton. Both matches finished 1-1 last season. You can see that again, to be honest. But you think, you know, I looked at these prices and I looked at the match on Monday night. God, I hope there's something good on Panorama that night. But then I looked at the prices, even Southampton, they're almost approaching the territory that they were last season when they seemed to be odds on for virtually every game they played against teams from outside the top six. I'm talking about when they were at home. I've complained for three seasons now that your odds compilers have been Southampton blind. They've opened their eyes a little bit in recent weeks, but even to beat Brighton, who beat Man United 3-2 a couple of weeks ago, I can't have that. And if there's going to be a winner, it's going to be Brighton. But the draw makes more appeal. I think it's going to be heavy on draws, the weekend Premier League programme.
9-4 for the draw in the game. I mentioned Glenn Murray. He's 9-5 to score any time in the match. Derek mentioned both Premier League meetings between the two finished 1-1. Glenn Murray scored in both those games. And he's got four in his last five league starts for Brighton against Southampton. And he's got 3-3 this season as well. So Glenn Murray 9-5 to score any time. If you are looking for a goal scorer bet in the match, could definitely be appealing here. Alex, what do you reckon?
Draw as well, I'm afraid.
Yep.
Probably draw and unders. If you're looking for a little more value, it's not going to be 2-2, is it? It'll be 0-0 or 1-1, which is 27-10, so just eking out a little bit more value. I'm in full agreement. Southampton always too short, particularly at home. Even money, some people will look at that and go, yes, I'll take that, because Brighton do have the odd shocker on the road, but they rarely get pasted. But when I say the odd shocker, it's they offer nothing going forward. But Southampton, on paper, their squad looks to have strengthened. They'd look to have done quite well in the summer. I just don't think that Mark Hughes has a clue what his best team is at the minute. And he's got players playing in systems that are new to them. He's changed his system a couple of times already this season. I just don't really think they have an identity yet. I think they may get one, and they may actually have a little purple patch in mid-season. I don't think Southampton will go down, but I don't think that they are worth backing on Monday night, to be honest. I think it'll be pretty drab, to be honest. Draw on under 2.5.
Very good. Thank you, Alex. Derek, let's get your nap, first of all, here. Andy XL has sent his nap in, so I'll give you that in a few moments. Derek, your best bet?
OK, I'm going to go for Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff. Leicester 19-10 to win at Bournemouth. They're a good side, Leicester, better than they've been given credit for. But they might even do a Leicester this season. I fancy them big time.
Leicester 19-10 to beat Bournemouth. That means that Andy XL's nap is going to be Southampton-Brighton draw, which I think we all are pretty much in favour of here in the studio. Yeah. And I need a winner desperately. So I'm going to go with Newcastle versus Arsenal. Both teams to score in that match, yes, at 4-6 as a banker, the cornerstone.
Sticking your neck out there, aren't you?
The cornerstone of that treble. Derek, we're desperate for a winner. We're desperate for a winner, the presenting team on this podcast after Alex Dunn's woeful effort.
Don't pull me in with you, Kelvin. You've done this podcast for how long? How long have you been doing this? 3 years?
Yeah, 3 years.
How many winners have you had? You can count them on one hand. Jesus Christ. I stand in for you. I do you a favour and you stab me in the back.
What about that Newcastle game? You're a Newcastle fan. Both teams will score in that, won't they?
They will. And Newcastle might get something from it as well. Arsenal are just weak at the core, aren't they? And I think Newcastle will have a decent go at them more than they have done against other teams.
That treble, by the way, yes for both teams to score. Newcastle versus Arsenal. Leicester to beat Bournemouth at 19-10. Draw in Southampton-Brighton at 11-5. Pairs just under 15-1. Alex, thank you for your company.
Can I go now?
It's been my pleasure. You can leave now.
Thank you. Goodbye, Derek.
See you now, Alex.
Derek will stay on the line. We'll speak to Darren Lewis, the Daily Mirror's football writer, in a couple of moments' time, so stay tuned.
Check out the all-new Bet Boosts on your sports Accas. You can boost trebles and bigger with a maximum stake of £20. You get one every day on mobile or the new WilliamHill.com site. Just click the boost button on your bet slip.
Now, as promised, it's a delight to welcome Darren Lewis onto this edition of the podcast, the Daily Mirror's football writer. And we're going to talk about Roy Keane, and we're going to talk about this new European competition, which could come into play as early as 2021. First of all, Darren, a warm welcome to the podcast. Good to have you with us.
Thank you very much. It's a real pleasure to be with you.
Did you watch any of the international football?
I did indeed. I saw the Republic of Ireland humbled, and I use that word advisedly, but I do think it is the correct word to use. In their performance against the Welsh, and I also saw both England games. I was at those games, and I'm relatively optimistic about the future going forward with England. But I know a lot of people kind of saw this England almost like being the sort of England that my best analogy is. You have a summer fling and then you see the person 2 months later and you think, was that really the woman I had a fling with 2 months ago? Well, that's the kind of difference between England now and England then.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think many people were that impressed with those two performances against Spain and Switzerland. Speaking of international football, Roy Keane, let's talk about Roy Keane. I suppose that WhatsApp message that got leaked was full of the sort of words you'd expect from Roy Keane, I suppose. Not really surprising, that particular outburst, because we know he's a volatile character. But is there space, Darren, for that in this modern style of management?
It's a really good question, because when you talk to ex-pros and current pros, they tell you that the industry is full of people who conduct themselves in that manner. And that you kind of, it's difficult to expect them to change because football is a brutal industry which relies on people using, quote unquote, the big stick to get the best out of you, people taking a no-nonsense approach. Football isn't the everyday workplace. And so, as we all know, Roy Keane is a combustible figure, a very divisive figure, and it's easy to kind of use him to kind of ask that question. But I don't think you'll ever get rid of that kind of approach to the game, because the game is brutal. The game is no nonsense. The game demands you take, in some cases, a zero tolerance approach with players whose commitment you might believe is in question. And it's quite interesting to note that Harry Arter, Eddie Howe, couldn't really get into Eddie Howe's plans at Bournemouth, and he was obviously has gone on to move on. So I don't think it's as cut as dry as saying that Roy Keane is there still a place in the game for people like Roy Keane, because for a Roy Keane, you might be able to pick somebody who might be less combustible on the face of it, but might still approach the treatment of players in the same way.
Yeah, I think with Roy Keane, Derek, as well, it's striking that maybe he's a little bit hypocritical, Keane, because he said in his autobiography that having finished his career, he sort of looks back on it now, and he played through the pain barrier when and it curtailed his career, whereas players like Ruud van Nistelrooy, who he admitted that he admired for the way he stuck to his guns when he was injured, he'd tell the managerial hierarchy that he couldn't play, and that meant Van Nistelrooy could go on for longer, and now he's criticising Arter and Walters for doing that.
Well, hypocrisy, he's guilty of many sins. He just seems to be angry all the time. Last week I heard he went to a fortune teller to have his fist read. I mean, it's not... And he's about as successful in football management as he has been in anger management. Where is he now? He's assistant manager for the Republic of Ireland. I mean, basically, he's carried a valuables bag in that job. I mean, he's a yesterday's man trying to tell today's footballers the way it's done, and it doesn't work nowadays. He doesn't like football, and if you have to watch the Republic of Ireland every week, you wouldn't either.
But Derek, don't you look at the Republic of Ireland and see a group of players who are underachieving? I mean, a part of the reason, I know people, I look at them and I think that maybe they could be doing more, they could be doing better. I mean, they were really humbled by the Republic of Ireland. And, you know, I think there is ability in that squad that possibly does need, at some points, a bit of chastening. I'm not for a second kind of condoning what people have described as bullying. And I use that word, obviously, very advisedly. I don't condone that at all. But I do think that there is a place in the game for not allowing players to rest on their laurels and for trying to get more out. And in any industry, you do get people who use the big stick. And he and O'Neill complement each other very well, because he obviously, as you say, he takes the hands-on, shall we say, approach, whereas O'Neill is a lot more considered, he's a lot more low maintenance, and maybe they think that's a formula that works. But I think you go to lots of clubs up and down the country and you see players, maybe not as forceful as Roy Keane, but very similar.
Do you think this will be Roy Keane's last managerial job in football, Darren?
No, absolutely not. I mean, football is an industry where there is always a place for somebody who's got the credentials that Roy Keane has as a player. He's obviously had a few jobs as a manager, and there will always be somebody who would be wanting to take on Roy Keane. I just think it's very, very difficult for us to hang him up as somebody that the game could do without, when there are other managers taking on very similar old school managers, and some potentially new school managers who take a very similar approach to the treatment of players.
Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about this new European competition that could be introduced by UEFA in 2021. I thought it was a joke when I read about it, Derek, because the Europa League is not getting the support maybe UEFA expected. Teams fielding weakened sides for that competition until they have an opportunity to win it. This new European competition that they're talking about introducing, it won't follow the model of the defunct Cup Winners' Cup, which was scrapped back in 1999, but the Europa League likely to be reduced from 48 teams to 32, which I think makes sense. But is there any point in having a third European competition?
Well, They shelved the Cup Winners' Cup, by the way, because no one knew where to put the apostrophe on it. The details of how it will work are not clear, are they? We won't know which teams will be in it. You know, probably Burnley, I'm guessing. They'll still be in it. And you wonder when it will be played. I mean, you know, the Thursday night used to be the non-football night, and now that's got Europa League. But there's no obvious night for this one. And there's actually talk that UEFA might invent another day for it to be played on. I don't understand. Until I know more about it, it's hard to say. Is it going to be for teams that finish like 13th in the Premier League, or is it just for teams from Albania and places like that who might be able to get a bit of European money? Well, that's going to be a real money spinner, isn't it? A team from Albania versus a team from Slovenia in Europe on a Thursday afternoon. I don't see any pluses to it. The only thing I could say is that if the scope is widened, at least it'll give Arsenal a realistic chance of not making a fool of themselves in Europe. So, you know, we've got to look at it on the bright side for that.
Darren, can you offer us any more insight about this new competition?
Well, first of all, I mean, we had we used to have another competition that could have worked very well. It was called the Cup Winners' Cup, and it did very nicely, thank you very much. They're talking about bringing it in from 2021. And obviously, as has been suggested, it's fairly clear that the motivation is money. With the markets opening up and the social media potential to be able to reach a vast audience, you could see why they're looking at it and thinking to themselves, we're missing out on on the potential to cash in hugely now. Obviously, as far as UEFA are concerned, they think that bringing this third competition in would bring up to 96 the overall number of clubs in European competition. I think, as Dell is suggesting, it could be tricky because there is only so much supporters can take. And I think as far as the fans are concerned, would there really be an appetite to watch a game between an Albanian club against another club from Azerbaijan? You know, would there be a market for... And would the clubs... Bear in mind, the clubs, as far as they're concerned, some of them get into the Europa League and then focus very heavily on getting straight out again. Certainly the English clubs do, because they realise that the Premier League is their priority. So this new competition would have to have an incentive for clubs to want to be involved. They would have to be either a place at the end of it, as they have done with the Europa League, in the Champions League, or they would have to be the vast financial incentive for them to take part. Otherwise, I do not see the appetite from clubs, players or fans being high enough to get it off the ground.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you two chaps about that new European competition that is scheduled to be introduced as early as 2021. Darren, are you at a match this weekend?
I am indeed. I'm at the Watford game against Manchester United, and I would imagine you might find it hard to price that one up, because I think as far as Manchester United are concerned, on paper you would expect them to beat Watford, but Watford were very well drilled, fantastic start to the season, won all four games, and really gives Spurs a bloody nose before the international break, coming from behind to win by 2-1. So, maybe I should ask you, how do you see it?
Well, Watford are 3-1 to win the game. Manchester United around about even money to win the match. 10-11 United to win the match. Derek fancies Watford to win the game. What do you reckon, Darren?
Well, as I say, you know, I think as far as Watford are concerned, the interesting thing is that set pieces, they're very strong. They're very well drilled indeed. You look at the weakness that Spurs were able to exploit in the Manchester United team at set pieces, Harry Kane's first goal in that win at Old Trafford. And it does make you think that if Watford can stay focused, there might be a bit of joy that they might be able to take out of Manchester United. I think the 3-1 represents a little bit of value, I have to say, because this isn't a vintage Manchester United side. You don't know which one's going to turn up from week to week. You don't know whether they're all playing for Jose Mourinho. If he were to lose, he would be back under the microscope as well. There was a hell of a lot of pressure on United going into that game, and I just think Watford maybe represents the value of the two teams going into that match.
Very good, Darren, thank you for your company.
No, thank you very much indeed for having me.
Derek, thank you.
Pleasure. Speak to you later.
We'll hear from Pete Farris, from Gav Pushlowski and Al Ross to finish this podcast. So Pete, Gav and Al on the Football League. Thanks again to Darren and Derek. And yeah, we'll finish the podcast with their best bets this weekend.
Hi, my name's Pete Farries, and for my championship nap this week, I'm going to take Preston Race to 2 at 11-10. It's something they've achieved in two of three home games so far, against Stoke and against Bolton, and when they beat QPR 1-0 at Deepdale, they should have landed it then too. They're a good side, they're always backable at home, and they've shown this season they can score home goals. They're taking on a Reading side who are bottom of the table, who have taken 2 points from six matches so far this season, who lost the Race to 2 in their last game against Sheffield Wednesday, and I know they've only lost the Race to 2 on a couple of occasions this season to Derby and to Sheffield Wednesday, but that does not matter for me. Preston, always a good home side. They're 4-5, which is a nice price as well. But ultimately, do take a big, sweet look at Preston Race to 2 at 11-10. That's my nap of the week. Let's hear from Gav Pushlowski and his thoughts on League One.
The top two in League One going head-to-head this weekend, with Peterborough at home to Portsmouth. One of them, possibly both of them, could be dropping points, and that means Barnsley, sat in third, can make the most of that, and they have to win at Coventry to do so, and I expect them to do so. Therefore, I'm backing Barnsley as my nap at 5-6. Barnsley away from home this season, played three games, scored 8 goals. Kiefer Moore is a threat in League One, big and powerful and amongst the goals, and actually scoring more goals for Barnsley away from home than at Oakwell. He scored 4 in his last 2 games on the travels for Barnsley. Coventry, mid-table, 8 points from 7 games played, not really built on the springboard of promotion back into League One from League Two last season. Their form is patchy, and this is the toughest test for Coventry so far this season. Their last 4 games at home for Coventry that they have won, spanning this season and towards the end of last season, they've done so by keeping a clean sheet. Generally, when they concede at home, Coventry, they don't win the game, and I expect Barnsley to score a couple of goals in this one. So it could be Barnsley in over 2.5 goals, could be Barnsley minus one. You've got to look at Kiefer Moore to score maybe a couple of goals for Barnsley, but my nap are the Tykes. Barnsley 5-6 to win away at Coventry. Looking at League Two, here's Al Ross.
This week's bet doesn't take too much expertise or explaining to spot as a great price, and it's Swindon 13-8 to beat Bury. That's a Bury side who are away from home and haven't won away since January. In fact, this season and last season combined, that win at Oxford is their only win outside the Football League trophy. I'm aware there's a relegation in there. But so far this season, they've lost in the league at MK Dons, at Lincoln and at Crawley. They've been knocked out of the League Cup at Nottingham Forest, and they've lost in the trophy at Rochdale in midweek. Those are their only 5 away games. Bury's price can only be justified by a good home win over Grimsby last week, but that's a Grimsby side who look really out of sorts. And Bury here at 8-5, that is basically the same price as the home side Swindon, who I think are a really good shout for automatic promotion. They are undefeated at home so far, 2 wins and a draw. They also beat Newport in the trophy on their own patch in midweek. There are likely to be goals here, but I've had my fingers burned by being too price greedy recently, so I'm sticking with the outright, and that is Swindon 13-8.
That's all then, folks. Thank you for listening and tuning into this edition of the podcast. Special thanks go to Darren Lewis, the Daily Mirror's football writer, our FWA guest, for his contribution. Derek McGovern, Alex Dunn, superb as usual. And, of course, not to forget the contributions of Pete Farris, Gav Pushlowski and Al Ross on this weekend's football as well. If you want to check out all the odds, go to sports.williamhill.com. And, of course, don't forget to boost your acca here with William Hill ahead of the Premier League weekend. We'll be back with the next set of fixtures next week. Until then, the very best of luck and enjoy your betting here with William Hill.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.